We have interrupted this program to bring you another special invasion broadcast. We take you to London for the report of Edward R. Murrow. Go ahead, London.
Here is a summary of the latest news available at Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force. There is no cause for pessimism. The beach opposition was less than had been expected. Our convoys did not come under serious attack. The minesweeping was good. It was a low-tide landing, and the minesweepers did the most difficult job ever done by the little ship. They established the clear water, and they led the big ship in. There was no changing of course. They had to contend with a two-knot change in the tide right in the middle of the operation. That meant they were sweeping in a strong cross tide. The weather has not been kind during the first phase of the operation. It was bad when the attack began, but the weathermen said it would improve, and they were right. Many of the men must have had an uncomfortable passage. The air cover had to go in low. But tonight it seems that the weathermen were right. The opinion here seems to be that we are over the first two or three hurdles, but there are many more to come. The American naval forces were able to silence the shore batteries at the points of landing, and our losses at sea have been very, very small. In the air, it is clear that the Luftwaffe has not given serious battle. Up to noon today, only about 50 enemy fighters have been seen. It is clear that the Germans haven't yet committed their air force, haven't yet made up their minds. It appears that the Allied air has done its job. Between midnight last night and the early hours of this morning, more than 31,000 airmen were over the target area, and that doesn't count the airborne troops. More than 1,000 heavy bombers were out last night. Then, more than 1,000 of our heavies went out at first light. After them went the mediums and the dive bombers. The lack of enemy response in the air is pleasing, but it is no cause for undue optimism. They still have a formidable fighter force. Their morale is still good. They just haven't made up their minds. They're waiting. Goering has issued an order of the day, telling the Luftwaffe it must beat off this attack at all costs, even if the Luftwaffe is destroyed. But he has not yet thrown in his main force. The RAF 2nd Tactical Air Force alone flew more than 2,000 sorties today, providing a fighter umbrella over the invasion beaches. Not a single enemy aircraft had been seen in the bridgehead area up to early afternoon. Returning pilots, who could see the ground operations, described the landing of troops and equipment as going like clockwork. One Spitfire pilot said, "I went through Dunkirk, and I am not ashamed to say that I cried with joy at the sights I saw today." One French flyer remarked, "We all felt as if we were on our way home at last, and it felt good." Prime Minister Churchill has just given the House of Commons a rather full report on the fighting so far. Here's what he reported. The landing of troops on the broad front has been effective, and troops have penetrated several miles inland. Lodgements exist on a broad front. Losses are far less than we apprehended. Many dangers and difficulties which appeared at this time last night as extremely formidable are behind us. This operation is proceeding in a thoroughly satisfactory manner. Airborne troops are well established, and the follow-up is proceeding with very much less loss than we expected. Mr. Churchill named the locale of fighting for the first time. He said, "There is even fighting proceeding in the town of Caen," and he indicated that the fighting was not heavy because, in referring to the situation at Caen, he said, "The enemy now will probably try to concentrate in this area. In that event, heavy fighting will soon begin and will continue." Mr. Churchill said, "There is fighting proceeding at various points. We have captured various bridges, which are of importance, and which were not blown up." Mr. Churchill began his second report of the day to the Commons by saying he had been at centers where the latest information is received. After speaking of unexpectedly low losses, he said, "The resistance of the batteries has been greatly weakened by the bombing of the air forces, and the superior bombardment of our ships quickly reduced their power to dimensions which did not affect the problem." He called the landing of airborne troops a marvelous feat and said they were larger than anything there has been so far in the world. He said risks had to be taken in respect of the weather, but he declared that General Eisenhower's courage is equal to all the necessary decisions. He ended by saying, "It is the most serious time that we are entering upon, and we enter upon it with our great allies, all in good heart and in good friendship. And the Commons cheered the Prime Minister's optimistic report. And now, with the immediate worry off our minds about just the getting of a foothold in Europe, it's not too soon to turn some attention to the political problems that liberation, particularly of France, is going to involve. One aspect of the political struggle for power in France was illuminated sharply this afternoon. Early in the afternoon, Marshal Pétain issued a proclamation to the French people, urging them to do just exactly what the Germans want, namely, stay put and carry on with their normal job. Pétain's excuse is that any other course means reprisals and bloodshed. And just a few minutes ago, General de Gaulle, who is now in England, issued an appeal to France of an entirely different kind, an appeal to all Frenchmen to fight the Germans, fight them wherever and whenever they can strike, and with every possible means. General de Gaulle said that the battle for France was in full swing and that Frenchmen must participate in defeating the already retreating enemy. He told them to sabotage and destroy the German defenses, evade German conscription, and mobilize their assistance to the Allied armies. He called upon Frenchmen to obey the orders of the French government, by which he meant the Committee of National Liberation in Algiers, and also to obey the orders of the properly delegated French officers. All the hypothetical situations, assumptions, and conflicts about France of the past few years will now soon be proven or disproven in the light of hard results inside France itself. Another report out of Germany casts some light on what may be our strategy in this new attack. This report says that the landings are designed to secure the port of Cherbourg for the landing of heavy equipment, and goes on to say that Allied parachute troops have been dropped at both sides of the base of the peninsula to pinch it off. If this succeeds, the peninsula will fall to us by strangulation, with no way for German reinforcements to rush to the defense of that vital harbor. Whether or not this is so, Richard Hartelet noticed this morning when he was flying over that area that the coast of Normandy is a dead fight, with not a truck or motorcycle moving over the road. Meanwhile, there have been more reports, which we cannot yet confirm, to the effect that we have landed on the Channel Islands of Jersey and Guernsey. There will be a communique out later on this evening, and we will see how much of this the Supreme High Command confirms. We return you now to Columbia in New York.
You have just heard Edward R. Murrow, Columbia's Chief of European News.